Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter, where Jesus answers Martha, saying, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Like last week's parable of the Good Samaritan, this week's text is one of those gospel texts that you're most likely very familiar with. You've heard it time and time again, and you know what the point of the story is. And since you know that point, and you've heard it so many times, you probably wish the pastor would preach on one of the other texts assigned for the day. And I understand that, because we are all busy. We like to make every moment in our lives count. And rather than hear the same old text preached over and over again, why doesn't that preacher teach and preach about something new, something a little more relevant? Like Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things in this life. You want to make every minute count. There are things outside of worship that you believe depends totally upon you that trouble you and make you anxious. You know that you can do it better than anyone else, and you don't want others putting their nose into your business. You're anxious and troubled about providing care for your children or your grandchildren. Anxious and troubled about providing care for your parents and your grandparents, or maybe even a brother or sister. And if that's not enough, simply earning enough money to put food on the table and keep the lights on, especially the air conditioning, that is troubling. It makes us anxious. Hopefully we have enough left over for retirement. And those are just things outside of the church. When we look inside the church, you're anxious and troubled about the survival of our church. Are we meeting the budget? Are we being good Samaritans out into the community? Are we rightly sharing the gospel with those who need to hear it, especially our faithless loved ones? In all of our anxiety and trouble, you and I, just like Martha, have times when we get fed up and frustrated, and we lash out at God, complaining. Why, God, in your infinite mercy and wisdom, have you chosen me to carry such a heavy load while all those other people out there aren't pulling their fair share? To this, our Lord has an answer to you this morning. He says, "Christian, Christian, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary. The time you spend here gathered in word and sacrament, sitting at the feet of our Lord, that is the good portion which will not be taken away from you." Now we have to admit, Martha always gets a bum rap. She comes out as the villain in our text. When Jesus sent the 72 out into the countryside, he told them to depend on the hospitality of those who would welcome them. And isn't that what Martha's doing in our text? She's simply showing biblical hospitality like others had done to our Lord's disciples. How much important is it to serve others? If you're going to be hospitable, there is a lot that needs to be done. Much preparation, much serving. And we see this in our first reading this morning. When Abraham has visitors, he recognizes them as very special visitors, and he begs them, "Stay and rest." And when they agree, he kicks into high gear with much serving. He hurries around and he tells Sarah to take 3 seas of flour and bake cakes. 3 seas. 1 sea is roughly 7 quarts. 21 quarts of flour and bake some cakes. That's more than a morsel of bread. And he goes to the pen and gets a calf, tender and good, takes it to the servant to butcher and prepare for the meal. And once the bread is baked and the meat is prepared and the curds are there, he presents it to them so they may eat. And what does he do? He stands aside, ready to serve them, watching them as they eat in God-pleasing hospitality. So, what do we need more of? Does the church need more Marys, or do we need more Marthas? Well, you would think that we would definitely need more Marthas. We need Marthas on the Altar Guild. We need Marthas to help teach Sunday school in the LWML. We have an open position on the board of directors. We have an open chair for the board of missions. We have weeds growing right outside the window here. There is much serving that can be done. But the truth is, we need more Marys. To be sure, Martha is doing a good work, fussing and fretting over Jesus as he visits. It's an activity for the Lord. So it must be commendable, right? Who's not in favor of activity for the Lord? More meetings, more committees, more work for the Lord. Let's do it. We need to be good Samaritans in the community, clean up the neighborhoods, feed the hungry, fight for social justice, all in the name of Jesus. And each of these things are good, right, and salutary, standing by themselves. However, first and foremost, Jesus tells us one thing is necessary, and that is sitting at his feet, listening to the Master. Jesus once told his disciples, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." You see, Martha either didn't recognize or she forgot who the true servant was in the household that day. She thought she was the host and Jesus was the guest. While she was busily preparing to satisfy Jesus' physical hunger and thirst, Jesus, on the other hand, the Word become flesh, was satisfying Mary's spiritual hunger and thirst. And while Martha was much distracted with all of her serving, Mary was attentive, being served by her Lord. And like you and I, Martha lashes out. She complains, "What about this Mary just sitting over there on the floor while I do all the work?" But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is necessary, and that is the good portion that will not be taken away from her." I get it. Your lives are really busy, and like Martha, you are anxious and troubled about the many things in this life, and you want to make every minute count. You probably even rush through your meals at dinner time, at breakfast, at lunchtime, because you think by rushing, you'll save a few minutes. In America, we view eating a meal like filling our fuel tank. The food is the fuel. The eating is filling the tank. And refueling is not really a productive process. It just takes up time, so we don't want to stretch it out. We want to do it as fast as we can. But delicious and fine food is meant to be savored. So too when consuming food that is meant for the soul. That one thing is necessary, savoring the word of our Lord. And where do we come to savor that word? Well, we are here, gathered around word and sacrament. This is where we sit at the feet of our Lord and listen, right here in the divine service. Yes, your lives are busy, and time is short and precious. And because time is short and precious, like Mary, sit at the feet of our Lord and feast on his every word. Yes, many times you already know the text. You know the point of the text. But don't let the other cares and service of this world distract you and distress you. Hear the words of your Lord. Chew on his each and every word and savor it into your heart, inwardly digesting it into your soul, feeding and quenching your spiritual hunger and thirst. Many times we think God's word gets repetitious. We think that the liturgy gets repetitious because we've heard it all before, right? Well, when it gets repetitious, scoot a little closer to the feet of Jesus. Listen closer with renewed joy, chewing on each and every word with your ears. Not chewing on food that perishes, but the word of Jesus, which is food that endures to eternal life. Come closer, listen, chew, savor, and digest Jesus speaking to you in the absolution, saying, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Chew on his each and every word, savor and digest him when he speaks to you in his Holy Supper, saying, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, precious portion of his word. You see, God always moves first. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, not to be served, but to serve mankind, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to redeem you and all mankind from your sins and to make peace between you and your heavenly Father, because you were an enemy of your heavenly Father. In our epistle text, Paul writes, you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and reproach before him. God always makes that first move. And then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, faith responds. You didn't ask for a Savior. You didn't desire a Savior to come and save you because you didn't even know it, because you were dead in your trespasses. You were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. But when the time was right, Christ Jesus came to serve you, and he continues to serve you in word and sacrament. He came to keep God's law perfectly on your behalf and suffer all of God's wrath against your sins, giving his life on the cross as ransom. He has won you all these wonderful gifts: forgiveness, life, and salvation. And where does he deliver his gifts to you? Right here in the divine service. Choose the good portion, for it will not be taken away from you. God makes the first move. He comes to you here not to be served, but to serve you unto everlasting life. And that is the rhythm of our liturgy. First, our Lord speaks to us and we listen. His word is efficacious, meaning it does what it says. It bestows exactly what it says it does. And then faith that is born from what is heard by the power of the Holy Spirit, hearing God's word, we acknowledge our Lord's graciousness and we return to him what he has already said to us. And it's that same back and forth rhythm throughout the liturgy, throughout the service of the word, throughout the service of the sacrament. And following the sacrament and the benediction, you are sent out into your stations in life as God's own child to live a good and virtuous life in service to your neighbor. But not forgetting that Jesus' word is not a one and done issue. It's not something you do for 1 hour on Sunday morning, but God has given you his word recorded in Holy Scripture that you might daily read it. Read it aloud. Chew it with your ears. Savor it in your heart. And inwardly digest it into your soul to quench your spiritual hunger and thirst. Yes, your lives are busy. Your Heavenly Father knows how busy you are, and your Heavenly Father could, if he wills, he could remove all of your busyness to make more time for you to do service for him. But yet he has given you the Holy Spirit. He has given you his word, the one thing needful, the good portion. And by that Holy Spirit working through the word, he creates and sustains life-saving faith within you. Jesus has the words of eternal life. It is the one thing necessary. Mary chose the good portion. And to be on the receiving end of all Jesus' gifts, well, that is the most precious blessing of all. Because you know how it is. You can go to a banquet, you can go to a buffet, and you can stuff yourselves so you can't stand another bite. But in a matter of hours, you're hungry again. But the Word of God, it fills, and it continues to fill, and it abides forever. It alone can truly satisfy, and it cannot be taken away. Because Jesus' blessings begin with him and go on forever throughout all eternity. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.